This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to KGXT, Gen X Talks podcast, live from Central California. Making plans with the boys. I'm gonna hit the town. Yeah, I'm gonna make some noise. I'll push past the pain and my wounded pride. I'm gonna live it up. Yeah, stay out all night. But sure, I've had some better times. And I can't.
Last time that your voice was so loud.
Okay, well, you're finding my ears right now. How's that?
Wait, I'm finding your ears. So then all should be good with the world if after all, if I'm finding your ears.
Yeah, there's going on.
No, that's what's going on in my ears when you talk.
No.
Okay. Oh, by the way, we're recording.
Okay. Should have been quiet.
You know the rules. When you're near me, cameras are always an option, so be ready. And the microphone can always be on. You know the rules.
It's always hot. It's always hot in here. Would you do the welcome? Let's get going.
Welcome to
I got places to be.
Excuse me. Don't interrupt the trained broadcast professional. Welcome to KGXT Podcast, live from 200 feet below occupied California. KGXT Studios is located in Central California. This is the Gen X Talks Podcast, live.
Wow, that was good.
That was pretty good, right?
Are you going to say who supports us?
Oh, yeah. Loud Trouble LLC, Coast to Coast Movers. I'm mad at him. I don't want to talk about him.
Okay, we'll talk about him later.
Because I'm going to be less mad at Loud Trouble, at Loud One later?
Yeah. Okay. We'll just do that.
Goddamn Australia.
Come on, I'm on the clock, man.
I know. Are you leaving? How long do we have before you leave? An hour? 2 hours?
Oh, my flight leaves at 2.
You know,
but I got to be there an hour early.
I got to let you know, other husbands would be questioning their wife leaving for Vegas every month for 4 days.
I wish it was every month for 4 days.
I'm supposed to just go along with the fact that you get on a plane and, oh, you're going to see the grandson. Yeah, right. Sure.
That's awesome, isn't it? That's the greatest excuse ever to go to Vegas. Yeah. The grandson.
Yeah, but it's a cover story. Everyone out there in radio and TV land thinks that I'm being snickered here, you know, that you're full of shit.
I might be. I don't know. But no, our grandson has requested my presence.
Yes, he always does. He always calls you and tells you, Grammy, come out here.
He says, I need Grammy time. That's what he tells me. So we have Grammy time. We got some plans. I got some plans with the little man.
I got a question. I bought him that Hot Wheel thing, and are you going to bring it to him or not?
Well, I can bring one of them. The cars, the set of cars. And is Hot Wheels still a thing?
Yes, it's still a thing. I bought a Hot Wheel and I bought the track. Why would you bring them the cars without the track?
Because I don't have anywhere to put it. I'd have to check.
I told you this weeks ago to send it there and have him just wait for you to arrive.
Well, then let's send it overnight.
Well, that's stupid. We could have paid like $6 and sent it 3 weeks ago, but you blow off everything I say. Like,
I didn't realize it was going to be that big.
I get that a lot.
Oh, shut up. Just shut up.
Well, look, I just wanted him to, I needed him to get the Hot Wheels, the cars. I bought him
I can take those.
And then I wanted him to get the track where you could sit with him and teach him how to hook up Hot Wheel tracks.
Oh, yay. And I go all the way to Vegas to set up Hot Wheel tracks.
Well, if you're really not meeting some rich gazillionaire at the top of the Sahara, then if you're really meeting our grandson, this should be right up your alley. The only reason you'd be upset if grandkid isn't your thing. Now, come on.
Grandkid's my thing, and who said I'm meeting somebody at the top of Sahara? Maybe it's a pilot.
You do have a thing for pilots and planes.
I got you on that one.
I got to start checking the airlines you're using and what flights you're always on. She's always on the same flight. come back with your little badge. You joined the Mile High Club.
You want to fly with? You can come with me. You can fly with me.
I am not getting on a plane.
Why is that?
You know why. Remember that story when, do you remember that dealership thing I went to in Phoenix back, I don't know, when was it?
Forever ago?
Yeah, they had, you always ask for a car story. Here's a car story for you.
Okay, go shoot. I'll sit back and listen for the umpteenth time.
Then you don't want me to say it? I won't say it if you don't want me to say it. You're the one who tells me to tell a car story.
Nope, let our listening viewers
then hear. Then you're making fun of me for telling a car story.
Could you just...
This whole marriage is you setting me up for failure time after time after time.
I think you do a good job all on your own. Oh my
God. I can't wait to divorce you. This coming.
You're going
to
have 4 days of peace and quiet.
No shit. All right.
But you get the kid.
What? Take him with you.
I could have.
All right. Look. So I'll try not to ramble on. The car story. This is a real life story. Like some people may know this. A long time ago, there was just like Toyota and Honda and Nissan. And then all of a sudden, if you guys remember, a lot of you, when we were kids growing up, there became Acura. You know, Acura has not been making cars forever. Acura dealers came about because Honda wanted to have a high-end car. So Honda developed an Acura. So they said, well, we're going to have all our Hondas, but we want a luxury car, a high-end car. They opened up Honda dealerships. Nissan did the same thing and opened up Infiniti. Toyota did the same thing. Toyota wanted to have a luxury car. They opened up Lexus. These are all the same companies. They just have their own, they open up their own new higher dealerships. End. Yeah, yeah, higher-end gotcha. Stuff. Okay. Mazda was going to do the same thing. Mazda had actually purchased land all over the United States, and they were going to build dealerships and build cars called Amatis.
I remember those. They were like little sports cars.
No.
Oh, no, not Amatis.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm talking about something else.
Okay,
just sit there and look cute. I
that's,
know.
Listen, that's a Mazda Miata.
That's what I'm thinking.
That is not a luxury car. Okay, they were going to have Amati dealerships. They had designed cars. They were going to build cars. And then at the last minute, that Mazda said, we're pulling the plug. No high-end cars. They didn't want. They were not going to compete like Honda and Toyota and Nissan and everybody else. So they pulled the plug, and they kept one car. The lowest of the low Amatis. They said, well, this is still nicer than any Mazda we have. We'll scrap all the other ones. And do you guys remember for a brief time there was a Mazda Millennia?
Yes.
There was a Mazda Millennia for a few years. And so I was, as you know, I was a Mazda dealership technician at the time. And I was certified in Ford and Mazda because a lot of similarities in their product. And they flew us to Phoenix. They took one guy from every dealership and flew him to Phoenix to a big Mazda tech center and said, you need to learn the Mazda Millennia, very different engine, had a Lycheum compressor. Won't get into that. And we were down there for a week, and the last day we come in like it's Thursday or Friday. We've been there for a while, and the instructor says, "Okay, there are all these brand new Mazda Millennias in the bay, and we could see them. There are like 10 of them out there." And they said each technician. You go to your car, you grab your tools, and you have to replace a knock sensor. After you successfully replace the knock sensor and you clear the code in the engine, you can go home. And the knock sensor was buried 7 hours deep into this engine.
Oh, jeez.
And I looked at this thing. This was a test. And this is your final thing. And this is back when they did a lot of hands-on. And we all wanted to go home. We'd been there for a week. And, you know, the Millennia was a little different than other cars, but not terribly different. We all kind of thought this was a waste of time. And on the last day, they said, tear apart the engine, replace the knock sensor, clear the code, and go get your instructor. If the instructor comes out and fires off the engine, if you don't replace the knock sensor, the check engine light won't go out. You can't leave.
Okay.
No certificate. You don't get your pay bonus for going and completing the course. Nothing. So we're standing there. There must have been 10 cars on my side and 10 on the other side. And I'm standing there. And, of course, every mechanic around me is ripping and tearing. They got air tools out. they're doing their thing. And I got my hood open. I'm staring at this thing going, I don't want to fucking do this.
Oh, God.
Well, I didn't want to. This was just dumb. This wasn't even for a customer. This was just so they could see you do it. I'm like, of course we can do it. We're all trained mechanics. Of course, every one of us here can do this. So the knock sensor, just to not over talk it, it just listens. And if your engine rattles or it makes a little noise, this knock sensor changes the timing of your car to help it not knock. But it just listens. It's just a small, dumb little sensor that just listens to what's going on. It's got two wires that go to it. So I don't start ripping and tearing. I went over to the computer and I pulled up the schematic on the wiring, and it had two wires going to it. I don't remember what the colors were.
Okay, MacGyver.
Well, and what I did was when I found the wiring, I found what loom it was in, and it was in a big loom of like 40 wires. I found the two wires to the knock sensor. I opened up the wire. I took a razor blade. I opened up the loom where I could see all 40 wires. I pulled out all 40 wires and kind of fanned them out so I could see them. I found the two wires that went to the knock sensor deep inside the engine. I cut the two wires. I went over to the parts department. I got the new knock sensor, which had a little two-wire pigtail. I wired it to the two wires correctly, and I took a piece of duct tape and I taped it to the side of the air filter. So this is easily a 7-hour job.
Yeah.
Maybe longer if you haven't done one before. And 90 minutes into the job, I was done. I cleared the code. I went and got the instructor, and he's like, dude, you could not have done this job in 90 minutes. I said, yeah, well, it's done. And there's no way to trick the computer. You couldn't do that. So he comes out there and he scans it, starts it up and scans it. And the code's cleared. And it shows the knock sensor listening. You can actually look at the reading, and the knock sensor is just sitting there at zero.
Right.
No problem. And he's like, you couldn't have done it that fast. I said, I want to go home. Give me my certificate. Give me my fucking check and get me on the shuttle to the airport. And
that's funny.
So he goes and gets his boss. And this is the director of the place that we're at in Phoenix. And he comes down and he says, you couldn't have done it that fast. It's not physically possible to tear that apart. It's a 7-hour job. Some of these guys aren't going to be leaving until 8 or 9 o'clock tonight. I said, yeah, I'm going home. I'm not getting paid to work on your car. I did it. The job's done. Well, they didn't look super hard, but they looked hard enough. They poked around the engine. They couldn't see anything that I had done. Like, they couldn't see where I cheated because I taped it up under the air filter, and they couldn't see that the wiring loom I cut was under the air filter, and I put the whole air filter box and everything back where it goes and screwed it back down.
Okay.
They would have had to start disassembling shit to even get close to what
they
did.
They didn't want to disassemble.
No, they didn't want to do that. So the director says, okay, you can go, but you're not getting your certificate and you're not getting your money.
Why?
Because he knew that I didn't do the job. And I said, you told me to make the light go out. The light's
fucking out.
That was it.
That was the
rule. That was the rule. So I left. So I got on the shuttle. I went to the airport. To wrap up that part of the story, my service manager, weeks later, he was on the phone yelling at the company down there going, send the fucking certificate, man, because we have to have the certificate on the wall to work on these cars.
Yeah.
One mechanic has to be certified.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, he passed the fucking class. Who gives a shit? Because they finally figured out what I did. They paid one of their own mechanics to tear it apart. And somebody found it and said he cheated. And, you know, I was hoping for like an accommodation for original thinking. They didn't see it that way.
You pulled a Star Trek.
Yeah, absolutely. Kobayashi Maru.
Yes, you did.
I pulled a Kobayashi Maru. And that was a nice pull, by the way. That was a great pull. So, yeah, they eventually did send. They didn't pay me. They didn't give me my check. They told me to go fuck myself. But they did send the course completion because the course was completed, and I was the one of only two Mazda Millennia certified technicians, which turns out a lot of the higher up people in Las Vegas at casinos, for some reason, they bought these new Millennias, and I was the only guy that could work on them. And so I knew all these guys because I was working on their cars. Man, I can't tell you how many free show tickets and free dinners. It was great. It just, you know, circumstance, but it was great.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to the airplane thing, why I'm not going with you to Vegas.
Yeah.
So I get to the airport, and I'm pretty early for my flight, and they're like telling us you can't board the flight. And I, in Phoenix, you can see from where you're sitting, like waiting, you can look down onto the planes. You're a little bit higher, like 20 feet higher. Yes. So they kept telling us, well, we have a problem with the plane. We have a problem with the plane. We have a problem with the plane.
That's not good.
No. And, you know, I'm a mechanic. So I have a real different view on when you tell me something's wrong with the plane. And I remember looking down into the cockpit because they had, you know, the windows were, just, you could see right in there. And these guys are flipping pages of a book and scratching their heads going, you know, they're doing this. They're flipping pages and they're going.
Ah. Were there a check engine light on?
Yeah, there was that's what they said. Yeah, later they go, there's a light on. They didn't say a check engine light, but they said there's a light on in the dash. There's a warning indicator light.
You mean they didn't make an announcement? Any mechanic in the terminal want to report to gate 5?
Yeah, I could have just said, mechanics. Sorry, I don't have my certificate with me because those assholes wouldn't give it to me, but trust me.
Hey, an airplane, a car, same thing.
I know nothing about airplanes.
They page doctors, you know, when there's an emergency.
Yeah, they do.
So they could do mechanic on staff, mechanic in the terminal.
All right. So they did say that. So there's an indicator light, a warning indicator light, and we can't get it to go out and we can't use the plane.
But we have to get the manual out to check what it is.
Well, I'm sure they were doing some sort of procedure, but I wanted to go home and it was late and they looked like they were scratching their heads in this thing. It was bothersome. So all of a sudden the lady at the counter, because I'd been kind of sitting there talking to her for a while, she goes, hey, they got the light out. And I said, well,
isn't what they do, pull the cord.
Isn't the most important thing to fix the problem? Not just the goal isn't to make the light go out.
You know, why you did.
Well, it did. Yeah, different story.
So it came back to bite you in the ass.
Totally different story. Okay. So they fire the plane off and everybody's getting on. And I said to the lady, I go, hey, now if it was such an issue that you didn't want us to be on the plane. Now that you got the light to go out, don't you want to take this thing for a few laps around the airport? You know, whatever the problem is.
On a test drive.
Well, that's what I would do. Yeah, with a car, when you get the light out, you want to make sure the light stays out before you give it to the customer. So you go test drive it.
Oh, just send those pilots up.
I just asked. I go, don't you want to run this thing for a few laps? She goes, no, it'll be fine. Okay.
How does she know?
I don't know. I just wanted to go.
Ticket agents don't know.
So I got on the plane, and as I'm getting on the plane, the lights go out. We're walking on the plane and everyone's boarding and seating. And all of a sudden the lights flicker and you hear, woo, woo, woo,
woo, woo. Yeah, that's not good.
And I was like, what the fuck? And everyone's still getting on the plane. And I look at the stewardesses, you know, because that's my indicator if there's a problem.
True.
They're just normally doing their stuff. And that, you know, that what's that cart called that rolls out? That's a really low to the ground cart. And they plug the plane in to charge the batteries or get it started. It's not a jumper box, but it's a big fucking cart. A guy drives it.
It could be gas. It could be.
It's a big cart. Mechanical. It's a big flat cart. It's only like 3 feet tall.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, so I look out the window. One of those comes tooling across the tarmac.
Mechanic.
Yeah. And he plugs it in. He plugged a big cord in. And
charging the battery.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I thought they're charging the battery. And within like 5 minutes, you hear, boom, and the engines come on. I told you. You see what I'm saying now? This is my dumb mechanic's brain. I'm a car mechanic. And I thought, okay, so that everybody loads on, the plane's running, lights are on, engines are going. We taxi out. On the taxiway. This is no lie. On the taxiway, the lights flicker, and the pilot goes, and it doesn't start. Again, the little car comes running out. We're on the taxiway now. The cart comes out. The dude takes a big cable, plugs it in.
Jump start.
And then, boom, engines go. I'm like, all right. I need to talk to somebody right now. This is not good. This is twice that we've needed a jump start, and we're not even in the air yet. So we start. I'm scared to death, as a lot of passengers on this flight were, because we knew there was something wrong. The power kept going out. Now, I don't know how jet engines work. I don't know how the batteries on these things work, but it didn't seem like this was a good idea. Now I'm back to, do you guys want to run this around the block a couple times before you put us in it? Nobody's listening to me. So we take off. And And when you take off out of Phoenix, it feels like straight up. It's not, but it goes pretty steep and it gains elevation. Well, we did not get all the way in the air to like cruising altitude because the plane was still pointed up a little bit. You could feel it. You know, you're still climbing, you're climbing. And all of a sudden we were about maybe 5 minutes into the flight. The lights flicker and I hear, woo, 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 woo.
Oh shit.
And that plane.
Did it go quiet?
Two things happened. Yes. It got so quiet. You could hear a pin drop. And to me, it felt like we were going nose first straight down. Now we weren't.
No.
I know we were still moving forward because of momentum, but I'm telling you, the minute that plane went dark, in my mind, we were going straight down, you were nose first.
Dropping like a brick.
We were dropping. And we're in the airplane, and this thing feels like it's dropping, going nose first straight down. And you hear the pilot try to start it.
Were you telling him to turn the ignition?
I didn't say shit.
Over?
Nobody was saying a word.
Oh, yeah.
And we hear. Now I'm scared shitless because I looked at the stewardess and she was concerned. Her eyes were as big as saucers and the plane was quiet. And some drunk guy in the back. He yelled from the back row, try it again.
There's always one.
And I'm like, yeah, try it again. So
I was the stewardess or flight attendant, I'd be passing out drinks at this moment.
I think the only thing she was doing was drinking herself. There wasn't enough time, so she just went and loaded up.
Took that cart and ran down the aisle going, hey, free drinks, go.
All right. So he does it again. And it catches. Man, now I know we're going straight up. That pilot was getting altitude. He had that thing at such a pitch up angle, I couldn't even get out of my seat if I wanted to. He wanted to climb. I don't know how low to the ground we got. I never saw. It was cloudy. But I picture by the time he got the engine started, I'm thinking we were scraping telephone poles and treetops.
Well, that's what you were thinking.
That's what I was thinking in my mind. It was bad. So the flight all the way to Vegas, which is nothing. It's like a 30-minute flight total. It's nothing from Phoenix.
It's an up and it's a down from Phoenix. Just, yeah.
Yeah. So nobody talks the entire flight. I mean, nobody. Nobody says, well, that was closer. Wow, that's never happened to me before. Nothing. No one says a word. And I'm surprised we could even land correctly because, you know, they always talk about the balance of weight on planes. Every passenger on that plane was in the aisle, out of their seat, with our gear at the front door. We were all at the front. There had to be 7,000 pounds now at the front door of that plane. I think the front wheel came down first, no matter what that pilot tried to do, because we were all at the front of the plane pushing to get off there. The plane landed. It taxied over. We burst through that door. No one talking.
Yeah.
We got off the plane, ran into McCarran Airport. And I wanted to turn around and wait for the pilot and go, all right, dude, what happened? And as I'm standing there, they close the door and the lady at that counter, at that gate, she puts up that the next flight for that plane leaving was canceled.
I wonder why.
I said, wait a second. Whatever happened was so serious, you canceled the flight?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd been flying on planes a ton before that. I cannot fly after that incident. Nothing happened. I was okay.
Yeah.
But I just realized that it's not like a car. If you have a problem with a car or a bus or a motorhome, you pull over. You have a problem at 30,000 feet. You cannot pull over and no one survives. You can survive a car wreck. You can. You cannot survive a plane crash. That's super rare. So that's why I'm not going with you to Vegas.
Well, how are you going to make the East Coast?
I don't know. I've wrestled with flying you and the kid out there and me driving, or me and the kid driving and you flying out after us after we get there. I don't know. I know that I'm going to have to get on a plane, but I don't know that I can. It really terrifies me to do that.
Out of all the times I've flown, even that story doesn't even bother me about flying today.
Because it didn't happen to you. There's people listening to this are just laughing. They don't care about the story. They're just laughing. But
I know there's bad stories out there. I mean, my mom and dad flew a lot more than me and told me a couple stories that were a little hairy, you know. Right. But most of the pilots are, you know, ex-military.
Yeah, but you can't. No, it doesn't matter how good a pilot is. If the plane breaks, you can't get out and fix it, you know.
You're right.
So it was just, I don't know. It was a bad thing, and I can't get on a plane. I know I have to go to the East Coast, but I don't know that I can.
I feel like in some time in my flying future, there's going to be a bad one. I hit some really bad turbulence the last time I flew to Vegas.
Did you say turbulence?
Turbulence.
You said turbulence.
I don't know. Turbulence. I haven't been drinking already, okay? No. No Bloody Marys this morning. Turbulence. Sorry, I couldn't get the word out.
One too many mimosas before the podcast.
A-E-I-O-U. Let me do my mouth exercises. A-E-I-O-U. Okay, I'm good.
All right, you good?
Yeah, so we had a visitor here for the first time in the studio yesterday.
So now I can talk about Loud One?
Yeah, let's just go there.
That guy, okay, first of all, Loud One is a big part of the program. He's been part of Gen X Talks for a while now. He helps us get stuff done. He contributes a lot. He's Australian. I went off last night on the live stream with him. I can't understand what he's saying. And I know, I don't know if you listened or not, because you were doing your job
I've
last night.
I've heard this story multiple times. You tell everybody
no,
all the time.
Not this one. The next one that happened. I know you were listening last. I know you were trying to listen last night, but in case you didn't hear, let me tell you.
Okay, go ahead. I'm listening now.
Okay, you're listening now. So the first story with this guy, when we had lunch with him a couple years ago, his Australian accent is so thick. We got done with lunch. We walked outside. We're all standing there, and he says to me, he says, "You want to make some pasta?" And I looked at him, I said, "What?" He, remember, thick accent. I said, "What?"
And he walked away too after.
I go, come on, you want to make some pasta? I said, "I don't understand what you're saying." So he says it slower. And I finally looked at him and said, "Man, I don't want to make any pasta. I don't know how to make pasta. I just ate lunch with you. Why would I make pasta?" He goes, "No, my dog, do you want to make pasta?" "Oh, do I want to meet your dog, Buster?" "Yeah, that's what I said." That is not what you said. All right. That was the first story that everybody's heard. And that's a true story.
He probably thinks you have an accent.
I don't. I'm American.
Oh, okay.
So yesterday, he's sitting in the studio. I'm trying to get ready for the show last night, and we get a text on our phone, and it's his wife. Now, he goes by the name Loud One. She goes by the name Chush, okay? But her name is Shona. It's right. A beautiful name.
Yes, it is.
And this comes up on my phone as a group text message, and I'm like, oh, I got a new phone. Now, I had his name in my phone, so I knew his number, but there was like two other phone numbers that I didn't have the names put in correctly, so they just came up as a phone number. So I turned to him and I said, "Hey, I just got this text, and you're in the text in the group." And he goes, "Oh yeah, yeah." And he looks at it, and I said, "Is this 503? Is this your wife?" He goes, "Oh yeah, yeah." So he opens it up and he starts laughing, and he looks at me and he goes, "Remember, her name's Shona." And he goes, "I thought he was saying Chush, because she goes by the name Chush, right?" He goes, "Chush want to marry you and me." And I went, "What did you say?" He goes, "I read it right here. Chush want to marry you and me." I said, "Your wife wants to marry me and you?" And he looks at me like I'm stupid. And he goes, "No." I said, "That's what you just said. Because his wife goes by Chush. He just said, Chush want to marry you and me." I said, "Okay, dude, you keep saying it like I'm going to understand it. That is, your wife wants to marry you and me." So he slows it down. And what he was saying, he was trying to tell me who's in the group text. Shona, Mary, you, and me. There was four of us in the group text, and I'm like, "Oh, Shona, Mary, you, and me. I got it." But he just ran it together like it was Chush. It says, "Shona want to marry you and me." And I said, "Dude, do you see how things get fucked up when you talk?" I go, "You just said your wife wants to marry you and me. 2 years ago, you told me you wanted to make pasta outside of a restaurant." I go, "This cannot." I said, "Seriously, man, Australians don't know what you're saying." That's what happened last night. Now, he's getting a little miffed that I don't understand him. I'm like, "Dude, first of all, I'm just a dumb mechanic in the middle of the desert, okay? I use $3 words. And I know I can understand all those words you said. I can understand them, except when you say them. and nobody understands what you're saying. I mean,
I think it's hilarious.
He does this all the time where you don't want to be rude to the guy, but I'm at a point now, I'm at a level of friendship with this guy. We can joke with each other where when he says something like that, the first words out of my mouth are just, dude, I didn't understand what the fuck you were saying at all. I have no idea what you just said. I used to be polite and try to go, well, beg pardon?
Yeah, not anymore.
No, we're past that. I can't do that shit anymore.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah.
But I think he got his eyes wide open how much work goes into the studio, into what we do for Gen X Talks, all of us.
Well, he hung out, he was here at our house for, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours.
Yes.
And I think that was one of the best compliments I've ever gotten regarding Gen X Talks, and especially from Loudwin, who's a good friend. He was sitting here kind of poking over my shoulder going, what are you doing? And I said, well, here's my list. And he says, what list? I go, this is the stuff that I have to do for the kid in the mornings. And I start here and I go here and I do this and I go to this. He's like, wait a second, what? And I read it to him. Just reading him the list took 30 minutes. And I said, well, I got to go over to Facebook and I got to do these comments. And then I got to post, you know, the kid will film his deal, but I help him edit it. And I got to post it on Twitter and I got to post it on 2 Facebooks and I got to post it on Instagram. And then I got to post it on YouTube. Then there's all the behind the scenes stuff that people pay a dollar for. You got to give them some behind the scenes content.
Right.
When I got done that and I said, so he goes, how long does that take? And I said, if I start on it at 6 or 7 in the morning, I'm done by noon, and then my wife, you, will say, come on in and have lunch, and I leave the studio and go grab some lunch. And I said, so now from 12 till about 4, I have to do all the stuff I'm behind on or, you know, do stuff around the house, chores around the house. He goes, what happens at 4? I said, 4 o'clock, I have to sit my big, fat, natural, white ass right back down here, and I have to start show prep.
Yep.
You got to do pictures and stories and what's been in the news and get caught up. And then at 6 o'clock you go. And then, as you know, last night's show was so much fun.
It was fun. It was funny.
And we went an hour and 20 minutes or so. But when I finally clicked off and I said, we're clear, and I set down the headphones, and you were sitting right in your chair doing your job.
Right.
And Loudwin was sitting to my right across from you. And I took off the headset. I'm like, okay, we're done. He literally looked at me and said, that was the most fun ever. He goes, that was incredible. Because now he's sitting here watching me go, 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 go,
right.
Go, topic to topic to topic. There's no dead air. I'm not searching for things to think about. I'm not looking around going, oh, what do you guys want to do now?
Yeah.
And
then he even noticed how the sheets work, because you know how some people go, oh, he hasn't read a super chat. I haven't read the super chat. But now he realizes, I can't interrupt you.
Yeah,
when he was going.
That's right. Yeah.
And he was like, holy crap. And I'm like,
well, because he got to see firsthand, he's sitting here and you raise your hand. You put your hand in the air like, I got something to say, or I got something in the sheets, and I blow you off. I'm like, don't fucking interrupt me when I'm on a roll.
That's right.
Because I'm drinking too. And so I'm drinking.
But it's a cue to kind of tone it down or slow it down.
I know.
I got something for you.
And I don't behave correctly when I've been drinking. I just run my mouth.
No, you don't.
But he got to see.
Like
he's
wrestling a bear, I swear.
He says, okay, I get now why the sheets are so difficult. Talking to you, he goes, I know why the sheets are so difficult. You can't get a word in edgewise.
Nope, not one. That's why they're sheets.
So, yeah, it was a good experience.
This is the only time I can talk back to you. It's during the podcast.
Oh, you kicked the shit out of me during the podcast.
I did not.
Oh, you know what? Let's kick the shit out of you for once. You fucked up.
Oh, please. Let me know how I did that.
Okay. So we ordered a bunch of rubber insulator, like over $1,000 of it. Turns out we didn't need it. Thanks, Lion. And I told you, I don't think we can return it. You worked your magic through Amazon. We can return it. And then, so we take these big boxes down to UPS to return them to Amazon. You've done the slip. You got the permission. Everything's good. We return 2 of them and the credit comes back. The next day we take 2 more down there and there's some confusion when the kid's down there dropping the stuff off. And the next thing I know, on my phone, it says you returned a hose reel for $200.
I know. I printed like, out the wrong paper.
Oh, they're going to get mad at you because they issued a credit on something that's not actually coming back.
So we'll see.
Oh, we're going to see. Amazon's going to go. Because see, Amazon trusts you. You've been so flawless with them that they give you credit on your account before the item actually gets back to Amazon.
You know what? I'm probably not the first person that's made this mistake.
Until today.
Okay.
No, but they'll just say, look, we're not giving you credit anymore until the item arrives and it processes. I think you're going to get your dick slapped a little bit. And they're going to say, sorry, you fucked up. You lied to us and you're careless and we're not going to give you credit anymore.
No, they don't do that. They just charge you back for that thing.
Yeah, I know.
Because
but
it didn't show up. Oh, it all works out. I've done it before where I've issued the or asked for the return and the return never happens. Like it doesn't get there or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they just credit. I mean, they charge your card back. It all works out. I've done it before.
That seems like they would be really mad about that. If you said, hey, I'm returning a $200 item and they're like, okay, here's your $200 back. And then they find out you lied.
No, I've done it before. And I called them last time. They're like, no. It happens a lot. People like don't. They'll do the return and then not send the thing back. And they just don't. There's people that have pulled it through and then have not sent the right code back. They told me it happens. It happens a lot, but it all kind of goes through the wash. So we'll just have to figure it out.
But you think you got that under control? Because
yeah, I'm not too worried about it. I really am. We support.
I know. We support Amazon. Jeff Bezos is raising a drink in the Bahamas going, Gen X Talks paid for this drink.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. The drink.
Well, I'm glad. I hope it works out because we really want to get that rubber insulator stuff that we don't need.
You know what? To bash Amazon, they need to work on their little return system a little bit too.
Why?
Well, because you bought like 6 of those.
Yeah.
And when you go to return, it was only letting me like return one at a time. I couldn't like go through all 6 of them and go, oh, I'd like to return 4 of the 6.
Right.
It made it very difficult to get those papers.
I would normally be on your side about this. Like, yeah, that's inconvenience, but I am so desperate, hat in hand, begging that they take those things back because there's so much money.
Oh, yeah, I agree care. With you. It's like, but it's just, it makes it difficult because you have to get the paper to go with the box to make the return.
And no, I'm with you on that. I am.
Because we usually don't buy in bulk like that.
No,
usually
we don't.
It's one item here, one item there. And so, you know, you print out the return and then it's gone. But here I had 6 of them to go through and it was just not, I don't know, it didn't flow really well with that. So that's why I'm not surprised I made an error. It doesn't shock me. It just was.
It shocks me because you are not that you're a perfect person, but I'm telling you,
damn close.
I am telling you that on stuff like that, when it comes to business and it comes to shipping and receiving and Amazon and all that, you are very meticulous.
You've
been very good about that
for
years.
I've been working on perfection for 55 years. Okay.
Well, I'll let you know when you get there. I'm the observer here. I'll let you know.
Oh, yeah.
You can't self-proclaim perfection.
Hell yes, I can. Mary Poppins did. Practically perfect in every way.
Wait, she called herself that?
Yeah, her measuring tape. When she pulls out her measuring tape and it gets to the top and she measures her height, it says practically perfect in every way. She has a magical measuring tape.
But she said it or the measuring tape said it?
The measuring tape. It's her measuring tape.
Did the measuring tape speak and say it or did she say it?
She read it. It said it on her measuring tape. So she read it.
Okay. Then that's not her proclaiming it. The measuring tape said you're practically perfect in every way.
It didn't speak.
But she read it. She didn't self-proclaim it. She didn't like, I am. She read it off the thing. She's like reading it.
The measuring tape tells what your personality is. That's what it was. She
used to measure the children. Okay. Then the measuring tape is proclaiming her to be perfect.
Oh my goodness.
Again, it stands. You cannot self-proclaim perfection.
Well,
you cannot.
Damn it. I can.
Oh, now you're better than Mary Poppins. Well, you drink better than she does.
How do you know?
Because I'm sure Mary Poppins has never had a drop of alcohol her whole life.
She's a nanny.
Yeah. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well,
or maybe she does drink because she's a nanny.
Don't knock my Mary Poppins. I love Mary Poppins.
I'm leaving her alone.
That's one of my favorite movies. Ever. Hey,
do I have an interview coming up? Wasn't there something with
yes.
the... And do you know who it is or what their name is? Or?
Yes. His name is Keaton. He is a Gen Z. He is in Canada and he listens to on live streams. He follows the videos. He is a huge fan and he reached out to me and said, I really, really want to talk to Gen X Dad. He goes, I really want to talk to him about me as a Gen Z, how not all Gen Zers are
idiots.
I was trying to come with an idiot. He said he really wanted to talk to you. And so I set up an interview with
him.
Is
this while you're gone? Do you come?
It is not.
Okay. So
you have nothing except live streams while I'm gone. You're good.
Okay. So I don't have to worry about that.
No. It's a couple weeks out. It's on a Saturday. It's a couple weeks out. He's super excited. I gave him a 2-hour window.
Yeah. And I got that. I just wanted to make sure that there was nothing coming up or anything on the horizon while you were gone.
No, there isn't. But it's just cute having these emails come through. And he's like, I'm going to talk to him about this. And I'm going to talk to him about this. And I guess he lives up in British Columbia. And he was asking me, he goes, have you or Jenix dad ever been up to British Columbia?
Yeah,
I said, we have not together.
Not together, no.
But we have separately when we were younger. And I said, oh, Jenix dad's got a really good story about British Columbia.
I do. I'm just not going into that right now. We don't have time for that.
Oh, well, that's fine. Hey, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
If you could do a live on stage comedy with someone, who would you want to do it
like
with?
Like just go on the comedy stage and just do a routine?
Yeah, let's do a live first. Somebody that's living at this moment, if you could go live with them. If you could reach out to them.
Okay, are you talking about a big celebrity or somebody like local?
Don't care.
I think right now, I mean, I'm not talking about like Bill Burr, you know, because obviously I'm not going to go that's like my Mount Rushmore of comics.
But you would do it, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I don't know if I could do it with Bill because I think Bill would just kick the shit out of me.
But you'd love to have a conversation with him.
I would. But okay. I think Theo Von, he's young and I think he's young enough to where we have difference of opinion.
Oh,
he's funny.
Be an interesting conversation.
Yeah. And he's been on a bunch of stuff. He does live stuff. He does big things like, you know, Bill Burr played the Red Rock in Colorado, that big amphitheater.
Yes.
And Theo did too. So Theo's big enough to mm-hmm. you know, I don't say that he fills Bill's shoes, but he's climbing, he's doing well. And I think I would like to do something that would be cool if he said, hey, let's go on stage and make fun of each other for our generational shit. I'd go in a fucking heartbeat.
Okay.
Now, if you want to talk someone more local to like the LA scene, Darren Carter, he follows the kid on Gen X Talks.
Yes, he does.
And now, you know, Darren actually got a gig in Vegas.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah.
That's
so
pretty exciting.
I would go on stage with Darren. I would tear it up with Darren.
I wonder if that's still a thing. Like remember back in the day when it was a big thing to have your name in lights in Vegas. Like,
oh, yeah.
You made it.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You got
absolutely.
In, if
it
you
is.
Got into Vegas, no matter where.
Yep.
And your name was in lights.
It has to be.
You made it.
When Darren's, because he posted that picture on the marquee of him coming up. I think he was at the MGM.
I can't remember where,
but it doesn't matter. But he was on the strip and his face and his name. Oh, yeah, you've arrived. When you get a gig up
awesome.
There, that's great. Now, if he fucks it up, he'll never be back. But if he does good, you know, then you get to keep going. That's great.
Okay, somebody from the past, somebody who is deceased at the moment, a comedian, who would you love to just...
George Carlin.
Oh, yeah.
George Carlin,
you
for sure.
You guys would sit for hours and go, George, you were right.
Yep. George and I would go back and forth if we did something on stage and he was still alive. And we'd forget that there's an audience.
Yes, you would.
We'd end our bit with going, yeah, fuck those guys. Yeah, fuck the government.
I totally
and then we'd look to our
you.
Left and go, oh, shit, you guys are still here.
Yeah. And then you'd be like, George, it really happened. Everything
yeah, George,
you said.
All the shit that's going on.
It really happened. How did you know all that?
Because he saw it then. It's just, it's more exposed now, the bullshit. If you think about, it's hard for people in the 70s and the 80s and even the early 90s. You can't track the government bullshit because the only source of information we had was news, radio, and newspaper.
I wish we'd go back to that.
That was it. Now that there's internet, we don't miss a press briefing.
Nope.
We don't miss a comment as the president's getting on Marine One. We don't miss anything.
No.
It's a lot harder to hide their bullshit. You know, that's how come we know more now than back then. But he was right. All the stuff he was predicting, and he was just working off of newspapers and headlines, and he knew.
Yeah.
And here we are today.
So not talking a comedian, but you know who I'd love for you to just shoot the shit with is the real Slim Sherry.
I've talked to her before, texted with her before.
Oh, did you?
I have. I need to contact her and see if we can't do something together. Now that we have the studio, we're going to have people in studio and Zoom call podcast. We're going to start down that road. I would love to have her as a guest where I can, I would say that I'm going to be interviewing her, but I think it's just going to turn into, I think if we talked, it would just turn into two people drinking and telling the whole world to get bent.
Yeah, there's going to have to be a lot of editing in that podcast or Zoom. That would be funny. I don't know if you guys could do that live.
I don't know. No, probably
but
not.
But I think I really enjoy her real life.
Oh, I do too. She is.
Things. It's awesome.
She is absolutely fantastic.
She's and, like you in a female body.
She is. She and you know what else is that she, people, I don't, now that we're kind of, we know what it takes to produce this kind of stuff, this yes. content.
Yeah.
She comes up with content daily and it's different and it's exciting and it's relevant every single time. I've watched 100 of her videos. She never repeats herself.
No, she doesn't.
She's brilliant. You know, she comes across like she's just kind of a little bit cocky and arrogant about Generation X. That's her persona on there. But she keeps it at a very basic level. She's not. That woman is smart. She is wicked smart. Behind the scenes, I'm telling you, she is smarter than she lets on. I haven't met her. I'm telling you, I can tell she's brilliant. And she's beautiful too, so what a catch. Obviously, if we could get her in studio or something on a Zoom call, that would be a privilege for us here. Slim Sherry, go look her up, you guys. Go look up Slim Sherry and scroll through her stuff. You will not be disappointed.
Yes, yes. If you're out there listening, Slim Sherry, contact Gen X Mom.
Get on a plane and head towards California. We have a little safe zone here. Wouldn't that be, someone said she lives in the Midwest, but wouldn't it be cool if we found out she lived like just an hour away or something?
Oh my God, that would be awesome.
That would be hilariously funny.
That would be funny.
I don't think she does though. I think she lives in the Midwest.
So I woke up a little frustrated and upset this morning.
Because you were not in bed with me. You slept on the couch last night.
Yeah, it was a little rough night, but the damn chickens.
What the hell? My phone was blowing up from that camera on your chickens. You got that garden camera?
I don't know. They had a meeting in the mines this morning, I think.
All of them were standing on the same raised garden bed and clucking away, all looking the same direction like they were screaming. Like there was a wolf approaching.
Or they were worshiping the sun. I don't know which, but it was like yoga in the morning. I don't know what it was. The sun's rising. Let's cluck away.
They were, yeah. That's a funny description because that's what they were doing. They were all facing the same direction. They all climbed up on the same planter and they were all just clucking. And I thought, okay, that is so funny. I'm thinking,
that's really odd because they don't get up in that planter because it's
no,
pretty high.
And they all and don't they do all it there. Together because it's crowded. They spread out in your garden.
So I walk out there to go, well,
ladies?
What's going on? We thought one jumped over the fence.
Well, because there's a metal shelf right near the camera.
Yeah.
And that big white hen was blocking the camera because she jumped up on that shelf. Yeah.
Maybe there was a morning service that morning and he was up at the pulpit.
Oh, yeah.
She
so
was up at the
she
pulpit.
Got up on the thing and all the other ones were facing her. All right.
Or they had it out for Penny and they were gathering together going, what are we going to do about this pig?
I love your little pig, your little potbelly pig. Every now and then the camera it'll send me a message. Something happened and I go look on, I replay it real quick. And your hens, all 16 of your hens can be picking at something and doing something. Oh, yeah. And she runs through them at full speed, just like a bowling ball knocking pins over.
Here I come.
She runs through and she trots. She has an arrogant trot. This little potbelly pig trots around arrogantly like it's my garden.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. Now I know why some of the chickens have hopped over the fence. I think she runs from the back of the yard going forward and the chickens all go, oh, shit. And go running, and then they find themselves on the other side.
They just fly up in the air to get out of the way. Like,
and then on the other side of the fence are two dogs, and they go, oh, my goodness.
I thought it was so funny, though. You know, we had a couple of our dogs have passed away over the years, and they were instigators. When you had animals in your garden, if they got out, those dogs killed whatever got out.
Yes.
They'd leave them alone. If they were in the garden, they'd leave them alone. But if you get out of the garden, they would kill it.
Now, these dogs just look at it like, what they the look, heck?
Are we supposed to do something here?
Yes.
They walk out there, and there's two dogs that I thought would, two of our dogs, you know, Riker and Ranger. I thought would kill a chicken. And you had that one chicken. What was that one chicken's name that goes up to everybody and it wants you
It's Doodle.
Doodle walks up to people and goes, pet me. Yes. This chicken walks up and will jump in your lap and tell you, pet me. So Doodle
it's like
gets
a puppy. Comes up.
Doodle got out.
Yes.
And the dogs are standing there.
Yeah, that's right.
And Doodle walks up to the dogs. I'm like, no. They're not going to pet you. They're going to eat you.
She's like, hey, buddy.
I know. Doodle walks up to him like, what's going on? And they're within 1 foot, and Riker and Ranger got their ears up like, the fuck is wrong with this chicken? And they didn't attack it.
No. Nope.
And you go running out like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. You got out there. The chicken was just walking around. The dogs were just standing there.
Yeah, they were like, mom, don't know what to do right
there's
here.
A chicken out. So you put.
Could you take care of this situation?
You put Doodle away, but I don't know. Those dogs look confused. Like they really look like, are we supposed to be doing something about this?
Yeah, they're not too sure. But the other funny thing is that one of the dogs gets up to the fence and sees Penny the pig inside and goes, okay, it's got four legs.
Yeah, Ranger does that. Ranger goes up to the fence.
Not sure what that is.
Ranger understands the chickens, understands the birds.
Right.
But since you got Penny, he puts his nose through the fence and just stares like, okay, that's not supposed to be here.
Yeah, and he locks on.
Oh,
just
yeah.
So you know, he locks on like,
yep.
I need to attack that thing. Yep. And then I'll yell at him. I'll say, hey, Ranger. And he like snaps out of his little trance. And I'm like, dude, it's okay.
He's going to, if he had the chance, he'd go after Penny because he thinks something's wrong there.
Yeah. I think he thinks that's an intruder. He knows the chickens are cool. The chickens have been there since he's been there.
Yeah. Speaking of bunnies.
Oh, wait, what?
Do you want me to, now all the bunnies have had the babies. The babies are grown up. They're old enough to go now. Can I take them down back to... what's her name, Andrea? In can I do that while you're gone?
Yes, but one of Gen Z kids' friends or two are supposed to take bunnies, so you need to do that.
I'll check with him first, but I'm gonna drive down there. I got to get some fill dirt from her anyway. From next door.
Yeah, and by the way, I need some rabbit food.
Okay.
So could you pick up some?
Yeah, and I'm gonna go down there and ask her. I'll get the fill dirt. I'll pick up the rabbit food, and I'll ask her and say, "Are you ready?" Because she wants. I told her. I said, "You can have them back. We don't want all these bunnies." And she's like, yeah, I'll take them.
Okay.
But you're okay. They're old enough now is what I'm asking.
Oh, yeah. They're ready to go.
Because I don't want to come back from Vegas and half your all your baby rabbits are gone and have you cry and be mad at me.
Oh, no. I'm good with it. Okay. They're ready to go. They're grown up and
all right. Well, I'm just checking.
Don't forget, you know, you just told all of America and then some that you're picking up rabbit food.
I am picking up rabbit food. Well, big deal.
Oh, and you know what? Oh, no, we're not going to get it there. Never mind.
I can pick up the rabbit food. You think I'm not going to get the rabbit food? How would I not get the rabbit food?
Because you'll forget.
I'm not going to forget. I'm going to get the rabbit food.
All right.
Jesus,
well,
H cat dancing crap.
I need bedding, okay. Not straw.
Now you're getting just, now you're
no,
just.
No, I'm not.
Then write it down.
Things.
Then write it down.
Write it down.
Don't
what
tell
century
me.
Are you in?
We said it on the, because I still take pencil and paper with me where I
should
go.
Should I
do
telegraph
stuff.
It to you?
How about if you, no, you telegraph, just, yeah, Western Union me your list. Just send it that way.
If you want me to, I can. That's fine.
Just write the shit down and I'll take it. This is not a big deal. My God.
Gosh, I don't know. Just, are you guys going to be able to take care of the animals while I'm gone?
Duh. We got this. Have any animals ever died on my watch? No, not one.
No.
Our daughters, we've left and our daughters have lost animals. Dogs have attacked them and things have died. Not me. No. Not once.
Okay.
What? You're looking at me like I'm lying. Well, I've never. Okay. The only thing that's ever died when you were gone was a dog, but we put her down because she was having convulsions and walking into the pool. She was going to drown.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was sad.
We'll see what happens. I'm only going to be gone for like 4 days.
I got a quick question. You know that you don't ever spend money on yourself ever. No. Everybody knows this about you.
Nope.
If you have an extra few bucks, you do something for the kids or the animals, or you never buy anything for yourself. So in the kitchen, anytime you've been looking for things, I have bought you things because I know you won't spend the money on a nice piece of cutlery or something like that.
Right.
Now you have said you'd like some pans replaced and I said, can I get you all clad?
That is correct.
Because All Clad is supposed to be a pretty good brand.
That is my brand of choice.
Okay. And I can't afford to get them all at once, but I can afford to get them one piece at a time.
And that's fine.
Except I saw something the other day. Gordon Ramsay is promoting something called X Clad.
No.
You haven't even heard me out. How do you know it's not good?
No,
do you think Gordon Ramsay is whoring himself out for a product he wouldn't even use himself?
Oh, please.
No, seriously, he's got so much money. He could be in a position like, dude, I'm never going to promote something unless it's absolutely cool.
No, I would rather not. That's a new product that's come out. All Clad has been out for quite a while. I trust the brand. It's a very high-end brand. I do not want Gordon Ramsay's. I don't go for that stuff. I don't go for Wolfgang Puck stuff. I don't go with Rachel Ray's got her whole big thing. I don't know. I'm going with All Clad.
Okay.
You know, back in the day, years ago when we first got married was Revereware.
The copper bottom Revereware.
My mom had Revereware.
So
for
did
years.
Mine. And that's all she would get. Yeah.
Then I realized when you get the copper bottoms, yeah, gotta polish it. Yeah, that's not fun to make them all shiny and copper because as you cook with them, it tarnishes the copper.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that sucked. Nope, not doing that anymore. Stainless steel.
Okay, well, to be fair with you, you know that they're very expensive per pan.
I do.
I'm going to have to take some time. You're going to get these spread out over a year and a half or so before.
That's fine. I'll wait.
Before you get a complete set.
But those will last forever. It's kind of like cast iron. That's what we did with my cast iron collection.
And it took years for me to get you your cast iron because it was expensive. So it took me years to get to a whole set. I think I've bought you one thing all clad already. Years ago, I bought you a big pot.
Stock pot.
Yeah, stock pot. Yeah.
Yes, you did.
All right.
Yes, you did. So, anywho. So, you're going to take me to the airport?
Yeah. I actually have to get the kid to go take Jade to her work so that it can't fit. I already told him. I said, you're going to take the one car and to go pick her up and take her. That way we could do the podcast and we could make it work on our end. I didn't want to not get you to the airport on time or get her to work late. That's why he's up right now is because I said, 10 o'clock, get up. You got an errand to run.
Okay.
So we actually have time now because we're kind of ahead of schedule. We're almost at an hour on the podcast. This has been a really fun podcast, by the way.
This has been really good.
I'm digging this one.
Yes. And we're a day early.
Oh my God. I forgot. I'm glad you said something because I'd have come back and raced and got it. It would have posted at midnight tonight.
Well, I was thinking about asking you about doing it today. And I'm like, no, he's not going to want to do it today. I was like, how could we do this while I'm in Vegas?
I thought about that, too. And I thought, you know, that's why I texted you early this morning, like, because you were downstairs moving around. I said, hey, do you think can you get ready for your flight? Can we hurry up and do this?
Yeah.
And, you know, all this really means is that I want for everyone who's listening right now, I want you to know why we push so hard to get this thing out. Why we try very hard to make these things drop on Friday in the morning, midnight, so they're there for you guys for your dancing and listening pleasure on your way to work or how you start your day. There's one reason. It's not for fame. It's not for glory. It's not for money. One thing happens in my world when we get these things out on time. Two Bear has to buy donuts and coffee for the staff at the car dealership. Because they all gather around and listen to the podcast Friday mornings. If we're late, he's off the hook. He doesn't have to buy donuts and coffee for everybody. However, the deal is that because he was on staff for years here and they're like, you make sure he gets those things out. So he's always, come on, dude, get him out. And that was the deal is that if he does it, if it's on time, he buys for everybody.
I got it.
So if we're late, he's off the hook.
Well, it's not going to be.
No. Two Bear better get his credit card out because he's going to be buying for everybody.
Yeah, so, sometimes. And then I was thinking when I'm in Vegas, I am totally focused on the grandson. Like,
yeah.
And I feel bad because sometimes I don't answer your phone call or I'll text you when I can or whatever. But he consumes every moment.
I'm fine with that. I don't mind that. But, I leave you alone quite a bit.
Yeah.
When you're doing stuff with the grandkids, not just him in Vegas, but whatever grandkid, wherever you go, I leave you alone, except if it's really important.
Understood.
Or at night, when you're settling down, I'd like to talk to you before you crash out.
Yeah, we do. We do that.
I have
to tell you funny. Our son texted me, our daughter-in-law, yesterday and said, your grandson's got swim practice. He's taking swimming lessons.
Yeah.
And it's tonight when I fly in. And she said, the grandson informed me that we are not allowed to go to the airport without him because it happens that it's going to end like right around the time I land.
Yeah.
And so they were going to finish and then come pick me up. But I guess the instructor bumped it 15 minutes later. So she goes,
wow.
Do you mind like waiting at the airport? Because we were told that we are not allowed to come get you without the grandson. I'm like, I will wait at the airport for him because he runs. When he sees me, he runs right into my arms. So I may be sitting at the airport for about 10, 15 minutes.
But the reward you're going to get is worth the wait.
Yeah. So, yes, I was informed that last night that nothing can happen without him.
Yeah. All the grandkids love you so much.
I have so much fun with them. No.
Okay, yeah. So we're about done. Right. Can we call it a day? Put this one in the can, baby.
Yeah, that would be great. I'm gonna go fly. I'm so excited. I love flying. I'm so excited to go.
Yeah, you. She goes from our town in Central California to Vegas, which is just like a 30-minute flight. But she'll go from here to Dallas, Fort Worth, back to Phoenix, up to Portland, then Frisco, then Vegas, just so she can meet all the handsome pilots and fly on all the new shiny planes.
No, I don't.
How many layovers? 13. No.
Yeah, I just fly around the country and then get to Vegas.
And then end up in Las Vegas. Good.
Wow. I love flying. I love being at airports, period.
Yeah, I know
so
you do.
It's so much fun watching people. The people that are late and they're like running through, and then I'm just kind of like,
or watching the families drag their kids. And
yeah, and I'm going, ooh, been there, done that. Nope. And especially when it's you by yourself. I mean, you and I would be fine, but when it's by yourself, you're within your own thoughts and you're like watching people, and it's really just fun.
That's one of our favorite things to do wherever we go. We people watch. We can go to a restaurant and people watch. We can go to Vegas and really people watch. But in airports, yeah, it's a classic place to go and watch.
It's really fun just to sit and watch all these people and wonder where they're going or what they're doing. Yep. And it's just, I enjoy it. I think it's really relaxing for me. I'm very
glad. All right. Well, say goodbye to everybody.
All right. Bye, everyone. I'll see you next week. It was great talking to you.
And her microphone's off. Her headphones are coming down. And guess what? You're dealing with just me. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for hanging out. It's been about an hour now. This one went really smooth. I'm really happy to say that we went through this one without a lot of hiccups and problems. That's one of the benefits of the studio, that we don't have doorbells. We don't have dogs. We don't have all the kids coming in and out, interrupting things. They kick in the front door and go, oh, I didn't know you guys were recording. So thank you guys for tuning in wherever you tune in from around the planet, AM, FM, Sirius XM, or perhaps on the Armed Service Radio Network. Remember one thing, wherever you go, there you are. And don't forget the other most important thing. Go ahead, say it with me. I'll catch you guys on the flip side.